Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Tamron Learning Podcast, where host Dr. Kirby Rossplach speaks with experts on many topics relevant in the ultra-high net worth family wealth management space. Kirby is author of several books, including The Complete Family Office Handbook, and shares her expertise consulting with families and family offices. Kirby is also the founder of Tamron Learning, an online wealth education platform that develops practical, foundational learning programs for beneficiaries to help them prepare for responsible stewardship of wealth.
Welcome to the Tamron Learning Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirby Rossplach, and today we're talking about talent. I have an exceptionally wonderful guest today, Mark Summers, who's the co-founder with his wife of Summers Partnership. Now, this is an executive search firm that looks at top talent around the globe for family offices. And we're lucky enough to have Mark here today to talk about what it takes to work in a family office. And if you're a family office, what it takes to find top talent today. So, Mark, welcome. We're so thrilled to have you here.
Well, Kirby, thank you so much for asking me to join you. I'm absolutely delighted and very much looking forward to this podcast. So, thank you from over here in London.
So you're far away from where I'm sitting today, but maybe you can tell us, how did you get into the executive search field? And specifically, how were you drawn to or found your way to working with family offices? I'm just so curious.
Well, my first career was in the British Army. I was an officer in the cavalry. I was lucky enough to win a university scholarship to pay for my university education from the Army. It was a fascinating time. And reflecting back on it, the Army does seem to be the ultimate people business. You learn a huge amount about yourself. You learn a lot about other people. You learn about leadership, trust, integrity, and all of the qualities that are so important in family offices. In terms of how I got into executive search, when I got married, I decided I needed to settle down and leave the Army. So I went into executive search because I was keen to set up my own business and use some of the skills and experience that I'd had and picked up in the Army. And indeed, that's been the case. I started working in covering the wealth management section, the private banking, which was growing. And then clearly, as that went on, the family office area over the last 20 years now has just got bigger and bigger and more interesting and more sophisticated. And as recruiters, we like to solve our clients' problems and produce solutions. What greater challenge could it be to work for some of the most dynamic people on the planet in terms of those that have created great wealth and have extremely high standards and interesting experiences?
Well, you've distilled a lot of this wisdom into not one, but two books. So we are so fortunate to have you because you've written the How to Work for a Billionaire, which I'm sure is invaluable to those who are stepping into those shoes for the first time, or seasoned veterans who are just trying to find ways to up your game. And then I love this new book, which is so helpful for family offices who are trying to understand the talent space, Family Office Fundamentals. This is your most recent book on, you know, creating, staffing, and future-proofing your family office. So there seems to be just so much information that you have been able to pull together in this space. Tell me a little bit more about how these two different books tackle the topic of talent and the family and the family office.
Well, firstly, we were on the second book in the Family Office Fundamentals. We were indeed fortunate to have your input into that. And thank you again. Renewed thanks for your contribution to that. We went around the family office ecosystem globally and interviewed 50 of the leaders and thinkers and consultants across the sector, as well as principals, and gathered their thoughts together. And so renewed thanks to you for your contribution to it. And how the books balance with one another is that they address either side of the equation. So the How to Work for a Billionaire is written for people who wish to understand more about the challenges and benefits of working within a single family office environment. So that's addressed towards the candidate side of the equation. And Family Office Fundamentals is written for families who are thinking about setting up a family office, or indeed have already have one and are looking to strengthen the talent bench and future-proof their family office as well. So it essentially addresses both sides of the equation.
Well, let's start with the first side of the equation, more connected to your first book. What does it take, right? What are the requirements today to work in a family office, and how might that look a little bit differently than, say, a decade ago?
Well, the trend that we've observed over the last decade or so with family offices and how they're staffed is that there's been greater professionalization across the whole of the sector. And that actually goes down to the people that work in family offices as well. So each search that we do and each role within a family office has a deep professional requirement. We look at jobs within family offices rather like a T-shaped structure. So you have a central plinth that is the deep skill, and then when you join the family office, your deep skill goes broader and spreads out like a T. And that is one of the joys of working in the family office, insofar as you can gain mastery of the role. You can get better and better and get wider and wider in terms of your understanding and capabilities of doing that role. So uniquely within family offices, there is not the sort of normal career structure that you get in corporates, and one needs to understand that before embarking on a career within family offices. And in addition to the professional side and the skills and experiences that are so important, we also look for an overlay of other characteristics, which are often, some of them are really unlike those to be found in the corporate world. So we're looking for high levels of EQ. We're looking for trustworthiness, we're looking for discretion, we're looking for integrity, which are all common in the corporate world as well. But in addition to that, we're looking for a fiduciary mindset. We're looking for people who understand the concept of stewardship in a really deep way. We're looking for people who have an idea of higher purpose, and also humility and the ability to fix puzzles and get things done. We're looking for an appetite of hard work. We're looking for strength of character. We're looking for diplomacy. And we're also looking, I think what brings all of this together is we're looking for people who are comfortable in working in an environment of abundance when they come from an environment of scarcity, and people who can mentally change their thinking when they come into work about the two concepts is a particular attribute for being a successful executive within a family office.
That's an interesting last item that you leave us with, because quite honestly, there's a admiration. I want to be in the inner circles of these extraordinarily powerful and wealthy individuals and families. Yet there also has to be this respect, distance, and removal of judgment, right? They're so entitled, or they have so much waste, or whatever it is about what they observe, to compartmentalize perhaps their own personal feelings, right? And really engage in a super professional and also in a, let's call it for what it is, but a risk management type of approach, where you're thinking constantly about the vulnerabilities of these positions of power and wealth and influence.
Oh, completely. And that fiduciary mindset and that stewardship is very important indeed. And in fact, you remind me of one other attribute that is also very useful within the family office, and that is a suspension of disbelief. As you say, you know, this is the difference between abundance and scarcity. And actually, if people wish to do things in a particular way, well, that's ultimately their business.
Yeah, I find that the way I operate when I work with so many families is that I am humbled, right, to always be able to work in these circles and to work with top talent, but recognize that I'm always across a veil. Like, I'm never really going to be super well connected or super intimately connected. And I think that's a big mistake that many family office professionals and or consultants make, is that they think they're so inextricably linked or need to be connected. And the reality is we're all on some level expendable, replaceable. And that humility, I think, goes a long way when working with these types of families.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, that's what prompted us to write the first book, which was advice to candidates wanting to do that, because we have so many people writing in to us wanting to work in a family office environment. And sometimes it's because they are they've had enough of being on the sell side and they want to be on the buy side, or they want to have an easy life, or they've got 5 years left on their careers, they think, and they want to have a nice sort of gentle roll into retirement. And these are things that are absolutely not anything that has ever appeared on any job spec that we've been given or we've worked on creating with the family office. And because there was such a mismatch in terms of understanding of what working in a family office might be like and the realities of doing it, we went and interviewed a lot of our clients. And so straight from the horse's mouth, we got their requirements and put that into a book. And the thesis of the first book is to candidates is know thyself. And if you have a good understanding of your own strengths and weaknesses, and having read the book, you think that there's a good match, well, then you should see if you can pursue a career in a family office in the sector. And if you think there might be a difference, then you know, it's probably best you take your talents and your expertise into another sphere.
So let's flip over to the family office leadership side, who might be looking to staff up or augment their team. Why is talent at such a premium at this juncture? And what is it that fundamentally you see the opportunities but the challenges to staffing a family office today?
Well, the people puzzles around family offices are sort of many and varied. The first is that the supply of true talent to work in family offices is extremely limited. It's also global. It's rather like a soup bowl. It's sort of very broad and very shallow in terms of a talent pool. And accessing that talent pool is really quite difficult. So finding the right people is quite a challenge. And then selecting them according to the exact requirements of the family office, each obviously the purpose of each family office is going to be different from the next family office. And so just because a candidate has worked in one family office does not necessarily mean that they are the right person to go and work in another. So defining the requirement is a second challenge after finding the right sort of talent pools. And then bringing those individuals in and making sure that they're sort of paid in the right at the right level, structured in the right way, that they're attracted, that they're incentivized, and that they're retained properly is also another big challenge to overcome for a family office.
Well, certainly compensation probably looks very different across the spectrum of clients that you work with than perhaps traditional comp in, say, a wealth investment or wealth advisory firm or a broker-dealer product shop. Maybe you can talk a little bit. I know you've done so much work on the compensation side. Are there any sort of trends or best practices that you see bubbling to the top?
Well, absolutely. We've just completed, we've spent just over a year working with a compensation consultancy firm run by a lady called Trish Botoff, based in the United States. We brought her over to the UK and Europe and persuaded 199 family offices to upload their details onto a report to shed a light, shed a bright light actually in terms of what the norms are in terms of payment for different functions within the C-suite of the family office and at different sizes and therefore complexity of family offices. So that report has just been published, and that was very interesting indeed. And pay we consider to be a hygiene factor. So it's really the cost of access to human capital. What we specialize in is finding the human capital that can deliver the most value, i.e. getting our clients the biggest bang for their buck in terms of what those teams can deliver. And we're seeking for this. We're seeking this nirvana of compound talent. If everyone understands the concept of compound interest and how powerful that is, but our thesis is that actually compound talent is actually much more powerful than compound interest, and that's what we seek for our clients to bring that on board, which is a mixture of getting great talents and experience and focusing them and anchoring them within the family office. And at the same time, paying people correctly and appropriately in such a way that they are attracted to join the family office in the first place. And secondly, that they are incentivized to deliver for the family office. And thirdly, that they are also retained as well, because when you've got a great member of the team on board, you don't want to lose them in this great war for talent that exists globally for good quality family office professionals.
And tell me a little bit, Mark, when you're dealing with a new family office or perhaps principals and there is no existing family office, can you share some of the common pitfalls or the challenges that you observe? And I'm just guessing, because you are such a thought leader, author extraordinaire, how do you help educate them so that they aren't going under a search with false pretenses, like, oh, I can just get excellent talent, maybe not compensate them adequately or incent them in the right ways, and they'll stick with me because I'm such a big name or an important person. So tell me more about the challenges that you see.
Well, Kirby, you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. You know, in terms of all the people puzzles that you could possibly be presented with, the people puzzle for finding the right staff for a new family office. Bearing in mind, it's an institution about which nobody really knows anything. There's no brand, there's no infrastructure, there's nothing. It's an absolute greenfield site. So to find the right people for that is really difficult. And oftentimes, we're looking to bring the right person out of a corporate environment where the structure is completely different and the career structure is different and so on. So it's how do you bridge that gap is a real puzzle. So what we have done is we've thought about this long and hard, and we've developed a process which should help families who are thinking about setting up family offices to work out how to get the right people. And it's a sequence. There's a chain you start off with, and you look at the family itself, you look at the values of the family and how those values manifest themselves in terms of time, in terms of treasure, in terms of talent. I mean, what do they do to demonstrate to who they are and what is important to them? So we'd help sort of understand that and pin down what their values are, because values drive everything else in this chain. So we look at the values of the family, then we look at the purpose. What is the purpose of the family office? What's the raison d'etre? Why does it exist? Why does it really exist? And drill down on the purpose side. From the purpose, we then move on to the proposition, what it is that the family delivers the family office delivers to the beneficiaries. Who does what for whom, and by when, and to what level of quality, and so on and so forth. So what is the proposition, which is really important. And once you've got those first three things, the values, the purpose, and the proposition, it's then possible to have an intelligent conversation about the kind of people that you need in order to staff that family office and deliver that proposition. And once you've got an understanding of that with the organogram and the structure, and then the job and then the role specifications for each person, then you can draw out a person specification and then do an executive search across the world for those individuals. And then we've got the people organized, then you can move on to the pay, which underpins the whole thing. And that's what I mean by it being a hygiene factor. If the pay follows the people from that respect. And that's the order, the sequence through which we go in order to try to find the right people. And it's the reason we wrote the book, because too often we'd be approached by someone or family thinking about setting up a family office, and they would say, well, can you find the right person for us? And we say, well, we can find people for you, but we think you'd be better served if you have gone through that that thought process before we get onto the actual people side.
And Mark, do you ever find that you have principals who say, oh, no, we already have identified our former CFO or our accountant or our attorney or banker, they're going to come fill this role. We just want you to do this search over here for XYZ. Do you ever find that you're also trying to work with a rubric that wouldn't be your design, or two, trying to speak some sense or give some wisdom of why it might not be the greatest? It might feel more efficient and cheaper to pull somebody over, but maybe it's not really the right fit. Have you had that experience before?
We've had that experience quite a lot in the past. And one of the sort of great trends that we've been observing is the greater professionalization of family offices. And certainly, when we were first doing this, almost 20 years ago now, families would, and particularly the principal, would place a great deal of emphasis on finding someone who they already trusted. And that would normally outweigh the professionalism, the skills and experience that individual would necessarily bring. Now, they'd be in the right area and it wouldn't be a total, disaster, but it just wouldn't be as enhanced a result as they could possibly get. So we'd often see that, where someone who was known was placed in a position which they weren't necessarily particularly suited for. And that would last for, a period of time. So what we're seeing now is that professionalism in terms of the approach, engaging us to help, but also the professionalism of the candidates that are being looked for has gone up. And whereas before it was the process was led by trust and professionalism was a secondary order, now it's delivered. Searches are delivered where the professionalism and the value add is much greater, and the trust is developed and earned over time. But that's more of a secondary order. So we have noticed that change enormously.
So, Mark, if there were a couple of takeaways for those who wanted to work for a family office versus those who are staffing or looking to hire in a family office, can you give us some closing thoughts on sort of both sides of the equation about the talent premium and what, if you want to come into this space, you should be prepared, and if you're hiring in this space, you should be prepared? Maybe your wisdom would be super helpful here.
Well, yeah, thank you. I think by way of summary, if you're a candidate looking into the area, it's really important you understand yourself really, really very thoroughly. You understand your motivations and what you want to achieve and what you think you can deliver within the sector. And until you're in that position, you're not going to be a great, you won't have a great deal to offer until you have that level of self-awareness. And if you're recruiting into a family office, it's really important that one understands the purpose of the family. What is there to do and what is there to fulfill? And again, if that can be defined, other things then fall into place and can be much simpler as a result of that. And one's less likely to make a big error. And errors within staffing errors within family offices are really costly. you know, it's one of the reasons that we, you know, supported Trish Botoff with the compensation survey, because we have found in the past that family offices, principals particularly, have tried to get, for example, a chief investment officer at a lower price than the market would warrant, and it's got to be one of the worst examples of a cost saving, because if you pay the person, you know, a few tens of dollars less than they're worth, and then you entrust them with investing hundreds of millions of pounds, dollars, then actually it's a very, very short-sighted saving, which is unlikely to benefit the family for the long term.
Very, very good words of wisdom. I have to say, I feel like the compensation is a central theme to successful talent acquisition, onboarding, and long-term retention. So we could probably talk even more about that next time. Mark Summers, thank you so much for being here today. So many incredible thoughts and ideas, and certainly you can read lots more in this book and his prior book on how to work for a billionaire. I think, you know, this conversation never gets old. We know that premium of family office talent is only going up, and we're facing a big transition. So we know more and more owners and operators are retiring and aging out, and we certainly need to have more top talent coming into this space to serve this very niche echelon of ultra high net worth individuals. So, Mark, thank you so much. I know you have some links below in our podcast that you can check out to find more about his books, about his firm, about the compensation studies. So we are so grateful to have you here today on the Tamron Learning Podcast. This is Dr. Kirby Rosbach, and we're signing off.
Thank you very much indeed, Kirby. That's a great pleasure to be here. Thank you.